when you're building a web application with a web API controller on it, you want to make sure you secure it properly and not leave any holes.
Let's mash on that.
Okay, so what we have here is a just a filing project,
right?
ASP.NET Core project, and we're gonna jazz it up a little bit. So this is actually just the default template thing going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were just to control F5 this guy, I'm sure it'll run. And we'll see that it is indeed just the actual default project. Tip for you. When you're going to start debugging something, it's best if you have Visual Studio in focus.
Right.
That way it takes the, you know, the control F5 for you.
Yeah.
This is my, you know, I should introduce here as well. I am thrilled on this episode to have with me my a friend of mine, a coworker, Eric Fleming. That's him. And he is going to be hacking with me today as we kind of drill into how you might be exposing yourself on the internet. Right?
Just like work.
So here we go. We've got this page here, and we're going to start by just adding a couple things to it. So we were talking. Somebody actually came across a GUID, and I don't remember what it said, but we thought it would be hilarious if your GUID had in it BAD 5-5, right? Because then you'd have like a totally badass GUID, right? And then it was like, that should be a service. Like, you should be able to go to badassguids.net and just get a GUID that always had badass in it.
I would use it constantly.
I know. Like, why would you go anywhere else to generate a GUID? So let's do that. Let's add a service.
Okay.
And we're going to just add a simple, it's a POCO class, and we're going to put a method on it that can generate a GUID for us. So it's a new class there.
All right, so this is our service?
Yeah, so let's call it GUID generator.
Okay.
Perfect. And we just need a method in that's going to generate a GUID. So we can just return a GUID is fine too.
Okay.
Now, the services that we pull in, sometimes we've got services that are local to our project. Sometimes they reach out across the internet. Sometimes they're actually connected to the critical business systems in our applications. We want to make sure they're protected properly. So right now we're just going to return a GUID. Let's get this GUID showing up on just like an MVP up. It's kind of it's an okay ass GUID. It's not a bad ass GUID.
Right.
It just might have it.
Okay.
Okay. So let's get this into a controller. So next thing we have to do to get it in a controller, throw it in to startup.
Right. We have to wire up the service.
Right. Wire up the service.
So there's some built-in DI now, right, for
exactly
these services.
So in startup.cs, we'll head in here and we'll just pop down to configure services. And we can probably get by just adding a singleton right there with the other one. So, and this allows us, this is pretty cool because it doesn't matter if we've got an MVC controller. What we thought of, like, we used to have this we would distinguish between what was part of a web, an API controller versus an MVC controller. And now they're kind of one and the same. So, let's pass in a new GUID generator into the constructor there. Yes. Or into the method call for singleton. So if we just do a new GUID generator. Yeah. GUID generator. Right. And that is going to be enough to wire up. So now this will be available to us in any services. So we actually got some other videos already on dependency injection. We will link back to those. So I don't have ReSharper installed, so you'll actually have to either control dot it or... that was right. Let's leave that in there.
I'll leave that?
Yeah, what's it actually asking us there? Simplify name. Oh, give it a try. Oh, there we go. We can remove it. We can simplify it. Okay, good enough. Great. So that's available. So let's just go back to our home controller and we'll throw it in the view bag for now. And we won't worry about a model quite yet. So in that index, we'll just throw it under there.
And you put it in the view bag?
Yeah. Generated GUID equals. Perfect. And then obviously we need to, if we're going to set this, we can just set it equal to null right now. We'll have to change the constructor and actually inject it. So, so go ahead and let's modify home controller so we can actually get that dependency injected for us. So we'll need to just add a home controller constructor. Perfect. I love seeing this because usually you've got resharper and
you just all like CTOR, tab.
So this is great. Your fingers are getting an exercise here. So this is perfect. And the next, we want to inject a GUID generator into the home controller. So we'll capture that with a public or with a private field and away we go. And then as we finish this, the next thing we're going to do obviously is just assign that. We'll make a call into that generator and assign the result to it into the viewbag, right? Generator. Nice. GUID generator is equal to GUID generator. So easy, just rolls right off the tongue too. At some point, generator is going to stop sounding like a word.
It's getting there already.
Yeah. We're trying to say it another 150 times. We're going to just start a counter so you can keep track. Okay. So then we've got generated GUID equals, and we'll do our service call in to get our GUID, and we'll get this display in on the homepage.
Okay.
So right down there, at equals null, just change it to the service call. Perfect. We were actually we were live in Austin, Texas. We have commandeered this room in the just off the lobby of a hotel. You haven't found us yet.
I don't think we're supposed to be here.
That's okay. We've got a door blocking, or we've got a chair blocking the door. There's no way we're getting out of here. Okay. Perfect. So let's go to under the views folder. We will have an index under the home subdirectory.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just change the banner to be one of the GUIDs. So there'll be an H1 in there somewhere, I'm sure. Or something in a carousel, or maybe after the carousel. Yeah, just scroll down there. Mm. Perfect. Let's throw one in there. Those are items for the carousel. Let's keep going.
Yep.
Perfect. Perfect. Right there. We'll change it to that guy. We'll just grab it out of the view bag. And just a @ in front of the view bag into Razor. And that should be good. So Control F5 that bad boy. And we should see this GUID coming up. Okay, so now we've got this website that is starting to grow in popularity, and people are finding they can come and get a GUID whenever they want to, but somebody is like, hang on a second here, your page is great, but I need to get at it programmatically, so I want an API.
Right.
And maybe some people want to start saving GUIDs, or maybe we want to start tracking which users are generating the most GUIDs. So we've got a couple of things that are going on. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to protect this with an authorized statement just to make sure that people are logged in before they're able to generate a GUID. Okay. So we want to authorize the home controller, the index action on the home controller. Okay. As just kind of we've got the local accounts we just picked from the template. So the controller's there for us and everything already. So now we just want to add this this guy in here.
Okay.
Make him secure.
All right. So we go back to our home controller. Index, and we can just do this with
just attribute.
Yeah, attribute. Yeah. Okay. It's just authorized attribute. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Control dot that bad boy. Authorization. Bring that namespace in. Perfect. Okay. And now when we try to go to the index page, if we run it again, And one of the things that I really like about it is just now that it's saved, if you just refresh the browser, you saved the... Mm-hmm. Did you build or did you just save?
I just saved.
Just saved? Perfect. So what it'll actually do is it'll recompile that controller for us without having to rebuild the whole project. So that's nice too. Right. Has it watched us for those changes for us. Mm-hmm. And so it's throwing us into a loop right now. I imagine what's going to happen. So a couple of things. We haven't generated the database.
Right.
So we're probably going to hit an error there. But if you go to the register page, because we register as a new user here,
right.
We don't have any users in here yet. So go ahead and just add yourself to the database.
Okay. Does it need to be real email for right now?
No, and this is just the login. So let's drill into that register page down there. Gotcha. And try to register. This is going to give us an error when we do try to push through it, because it'll say we haven't run migrations, we haven't set up that in initial database. But this is one of the cool things too that they've added into the default template, is that if you're in developer mode, it'll actually prompt you to run your migrations right from the web page. Okay. Then you can just refresh, confirm your form submission, and then keep going. Very so nice. Let's go ahead and sign up for this awesome Monster GUID service.
All right, I'm gonna use a fake email.
Use your real one.
You mean using my real one?
Yeah, use your real one.
All right,
just put it right out there for everyone to see it.
I'm going
to
do that.
Do it.
I am.
You're going to start getting all this fan mail.
That's fine with me.
And everything. He's an ineligible bachelor, by the way.
Very true.
Off the market. Oh, password. You need a real password. You
can't use this. Real password?
Yeah. Yeah. And I do have a keylogger running. I'm going to be checking your email later.
That's fine.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Well, if I could type it the same.
Oh, goodness gracious. Man alive. I will teach you. So I'm so glad that we're on here talking about security.
Yeah. I can do this.
I believe in you, man. We can get through this.
Hey,
okay, there we go. So now all you have to do is hit that. So this is like a developer and only enabled page, and we can look at that in the configuration right after we're done this. But okay. If you just click apply migrations, it's going to go do-do-do-do, and it's going to be, hey, we ran the migrations, everything is good.
Very cool.
And then it's actually going off, and what it's doing right now is it's actually going off, running that initial migration. It's using local DB, and now it says refresh your page. So we'll just hit F5 and continue. Yeah. Like we'll confirm, because you're sending the submission back into the controller. And then bam, look at that. Hello, Eric Fleming. So great. We are now protected. We know that we can't get in. Now we've got accounts. We add some middleware to do some logging and some statistics counting, and then people are saying this is such a great service, but I want to be able to get a GUID from the API.
Right.
Okay. So let us close this down. We'll close this, stop this guy here. And we need to add an API controller.
All right.
And do you know, you can just pick, like an API controller with read-write actions.
Okay.
Sure, we'll do that. It'll just give us we'll check out this template as we go. I don't know that I've actually seen this in the new tooling. GUID controller, GUID API controller. Yeah, that sounds like a good name. See what it gives us. We'll just poke through this and see what the parts are that we need and pull out the parts that we don't, and that'll be fine.
Cool.
Okay, so we have an IEnumerable of get, and we have a get with an ID. Do you know what? We're just going to do a get with no ID. So let's pull out pretty much everything. We probably don't need too much there. So take out that first method, that first get method. We can take out the ID parameter on this guy. And so we'll just leave it as an HTTP get attribute with nothing other than, yeah. And take out the ID parameter.
Okay.
And then clean up the rest of the bottom of the controller as well. And then we're gonna wanna do the same thing that we were doing when we were on our home controller, and that's to inject that dependency of that GUID generator into the controller as well. And so we'll have to add a constructor and do that dance again. We can probably actually just grab most of that out of the home controller, just copy and paste that stuff.
This stuff right here?
Yeah, that stuff right there.
Just change the name.
Just change the name of the class. You know where we're going with this.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. Control dot.
Yeah.
And not resharper.
Jeez.
There you go.
So I do have a question here about this produces attribute for the web APIs.
So. Yeah. So like if normally when you're requesting in from the API, it's actually going to return you XML by default.
Mm-hmm.
And unless somebody goes in and explicitly says, I would like you to return JSON to me.
Okay.
By putting this on, it changes the default what's actually output to JSON instead of XML.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Now, so we have the GWT API controller here. Let's get this running and let's open up Postman.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Controller 5.
So we already know here that if we were just to add an API, then obviously we're going to run into a problem because we can just do localhost. Well, we can even do this in the browser right now. We should be able to, once this loads, just go to whatever the route ends up being. So we've got already got the confirmation by trying to hit the home controller. It bounces back out to that authorized. Yeah. So we have to log in. But if we can, let's just bypass this. Let's just go to WAC API, WAC, what is it, WAC GWT?
Yep. GWT API, I think.
Yeah. So hit that and we get a value. Now we haven't finished up the wiring, but it's not asking us to authorize or to authenticate. Right. Okay. So let's pop back to Visual Studio and let's finish wiring this up. We're going to return that a GWT that gets generated.
Okay.
Perfect. And again, if we hit the
return a GWT here.
Yeah, we can return a GWT there. Produces JSON. So the serializer is going to take that GWT return and throw it back as JSON. So, and if we pop back in the browser, we hit refresh, it'll do that recompilation for us, and then bada bing, bada boom, toss a beaver in the river and get a GWT. There we go.
All right.
Okay, so we're almost there. We need to protect this now. So let's throw our authorize statement on there.
Okay. Well,
okay. Now the thing is, here is that anybody who's able to capture a cookie, including, just citizens on the web, they're actually able to get past this. So back into the browser, that guy's saved. So back in the browser, when you hit, let's hit that guy now. So we've been this. What happens is the middleware kicks in for authentication. It has that authorization attribute. It punts back a challenge response, and a browser will take that challenge response and throw us here. Okay, so now we've kind of gone to that next level. We've blocked that off, and we want to restrict access. We're going to take part of the first, like, have a look at some of the mechanics of actually what's going on. So let's switch seats really quickly, and then we'll keep going. So, I swear someone's smoking weed here.
Seriously, it smells like it, yeah.
The scent of the room seems fine.
I don't
know what you guys are
up to. Simon is over there.
I smell it out there. I definitely smell it out there.
Man alive. Okay.
Texas.
Austin.
It's weird here. Okay.
Did you see the sign? It says keep Texas weird.
Or keep Austin weird. Yeah. I know, that's like a thing in Austin.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's weird that...
It's like something that Portland would own.
Portland. Okay, so we are here. We've got our API giving us this challenge thing or whatever. Now, a witty person who's able to figure this out, they're going to log in. And you know what? You're going to have to do your... I'm going to have to get you to punch in your password here. Again, totally do not have a password logger going.
Right.
So you just go ahead.
Sure.
Put that password. You have to remember the one you use now. That's the trick, right?
First try?
We'll see.
First try.
I totally saw what his password was. Okay, so what's cool, save this password. Oh, yeah, I'm going to save this password. Good times. Okay, I am going to demonstrate really quickly why we can't just rely on these kinds of mechanisms. So I am the knowing quasi hacker scriptor kitty kind of thing. I understand enough that this website, I understand enough about challenge response mechanisms that what's happening is that my browser is actually going to have to present this authentication in some way.
Right.
So how does that happen? Let's have a look here. Well, when I request this page, I'll go to the network here and I will refresh. That's going to generate my all my traffic here. Let me spin down this console. I don't need that so much right now. If I look at this request to localhost and I check out the request headers, I actually present, one of the headers that I present is a cookie with this value. And this has everything that I need in order to say, I'm an authenticated user in your app, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I fire open Postman, this is where stuff gets crazy. And understanding like how this middleware is working and how it's interacting, I think is an important part of starting to work towards building a more secure site. So I'm going to go to, we'll just copy and paste this address in here. We can see actually even if we do it, just put this address in, I'll pull this up onto into view here. But even just by pulling this address or this address in here, which is the index method, what I'm actually going to see when I look in here is the HTML. I was returned a login page,
right.
So you can kind of see in here. Here's the remember me, you know. Here's the password field and everything. So that's actually, so it's kind of weird because we actually don't want that. It's probably not where we want to be, but. If I've got this script kitty hackerism thing going on, I might be able to say, oh, well, you have an API, right? Well, maybe I can just take this guy and go set up a header in my request. Actually, I have to look at an expanded view here to get over to my... I'm going to go and add a header in here and say send. And I just have this one that's cookie. And then now my body is actually, do you know what? That's going back to the homepage. So we're going to see a whole bunch of stuff in the homepage.
Right.
But a better example of that's going to be to go to API/GUID API. And yep. I get the GUID.
Your GUID back. Yeah.
So go. This is kind of the first step. And now we want to block them, right? We want to say, you can be authorized, but you're going to need a little bit more than that. It can't just be this simple thing that we've done. So we're going to flip back to Visual Studio, and the next thing that we're going to do is we're going to start to augment this a little bit more, and we're going to say roles is equal to, and we're going to say admin. So you have to be in the admin role. So what this does is it tells the middleware you have to, in this case it's kind of wired up funny because it's uses this concept called claims, and claims, the aha moment for me with claims is that claims are just key value pairs.
Yeah.
So it, like, I mean, I struggled for some time because I didn't ever have that explanation. Claims seemed like this widely used term that wasn't really well explained, and it seemed like everybody who said claims assumed you knew what they were talking about. But it's just key value pairs.
Right.
So when you sign in, you get a certain set of claims. Sometimes those are things like your might have something to do with like your user ID, right? And there's a like an SAM value and things like that that are going to be part of your identity that get pushed in. If you've got roles, there will be a claim for every role that you are in. So now we're saying, you know, it's going to be admin or it's going to be API user, right? You're going to have to be this API user thing. So I'll save this now. And I'm still the same user. I have the same cookie when I send this, and it's going to recompile everything in the background or whatever. But it's going to throw me away from that page because now it's checking to see, okay, this guy signed in, but he doesn't have that role.
Right.
What we're actually seeing right now is a 404.
Really?
Yeah, we got that right here. And I found that this was like actually really quite interesting. But let's have a look and see what it actually does if we look in the browser, okay? So we're going to pop back to the browser for a second. I'm still that same authenticated user. I have that cookie. And I go to API/GUID API. And look where it sends me. It sends me to account access denied.
Really? Okay.
So we actually have this other vector now where we can start handling this other class because I am authenticated. It's not a 401, so challenge is not correct.
Right.
In past versions, what was happening with the redirect here, if you started to specify a role or that you needed a certain claim or whatever, is it would actually throw you back to the login page, which might have been a confusing thing for users, right? Because it's like, I already logged in.
Right. I logged in. Why am I not able to move forward?
I guess, and like the idea, I guess, is, you know, okay, well, you need to log in as a different user because the user that you are right now doesn't have the permissions to access this page. But this is actually more fitting, is that it's an access denied. Yeah. Let's go back to Postman, though, because what was our status response?
404.
404 not found.
Right.
Right? So what's weird. Going on there? But even if we look in Chrome, we're getting a 404 not found on access denied. So if we go into the Monster Grid project, let's go and have a look. How would a 404 not found show up? It said that we were going to account not authorized, right? So when I go to the account controller.
Through the API controller.
It got redirected back because it's still the same. We haven't actually started dealing with users in like a different context if they're from the API or if they're from the front end. So what we're doing is we put this authorize piece on it, and it's tying into the existing middleware that's actually probably more designed for front end calls than the back end calls out of the box.
Right.
Okay, so there's more to it than just this. But if I have a look at this class, when I drill into this class, I see a login. I'm just going to pull down from here. Oh, and it's completely going off screen here. But the point is that there is no let me just control M-O this guy. Oh, man. No, that's not what I want. It is doing a funky thing right now. It's not the keystroke that I meant. But I was just trying to minimize all these. There's register, there's log off.
Yeah.
But in the browser, it's looking for account access denied. So the out-of-the-box middleware, this is probably signaling is that there's going to be a change in the template, so that the project template's going to start coming out with some kind of endpoint that has this access denied piece. But it also points out this other kind of important thing is that the way that we treat a user who's on a web page is probably different than how we need to treat somebody who's on a web API. For a script kiddie that's in here hacking around using JSON and Postman and stuff like that, do you know what? We don't really care what their experience is like, but for real legitimate users, we probably want to do something more.
Absolutely.
So it's beyond the scope of this session, but we're going to do another talk and maybe we can do it together as well. And we'll have something set up like Identity Server where we can mint tokens and then we can use these JOT tokens and actually specify a scope under which an account is able to be used. Because just like we want to have users that are not allowed to access APIs, we want to have API users who are not allowed to access the front end, and then there might be also cases where we've got this premium scenario where you're able to either use the website and use the API, but you've got different permissions when you're on the website. You're allowed to edit things on the website, but in the API, you're only allowed to do gets or reports or some kind of thing like that. Right. So lots of different things there. Cool beans?
Awesome.
Well, thanks very much for coming on. And
so thanks for having me.
Dropping a bit of code with me today. That was fun exploring some of this stuff. And we will see everybody on the next episode of the ASP.NET Monsters. Cheers.
Right. See you.